I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
So Prince George has been pictured everywhere wearing an England football shirt, which I love.
I haven't seen it yet.
Have you not seen it?
No.
Have you not looked everywhere?
I haven't looked everywhere.
Look under your chair.
Hang on a minute.
There it is.
Oh, look, there
you
it is.
You seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's everywhere. And, you know, there's this sort of debate that's been going on online. It's trending a bit as to, wouldn't it be amazing if Prince George played for England?
Yeah, you imagine that.
One day.
Let's look at the past. Who's the prince? I can't remember his name. The one that no one really knows.
Oh, yeah. Prince Roger.
The one who was acting. Married Sophie something.
Who's that?
There's Andrew.
Oh, you mean the rugby player?
No, there's Andrew, there's Charles, and there's the other one that no one really knows about. Edward, is it?
Yeah. I thought you said Giles. Then
no, Charles. There's three brothers, right? Yeah. There's Charles, there's Andrew, and there's that other one.
Edward.
Edward, yeah.
Yeah, but hang on a minute.
He was an actor, wasn't he? I mean, imagine if he'd have been, you know, good enough to be a Hollywood actor.
Yeah, well, he wasn't.
He was terrible. I saw him.
Princess Anne has won show jumping medals, didn't she?
That's right, she did.
Okay.
Now, what I'm saying is that in that sort of thing, like if George was good enough to play for England, that wouldn't be, well, obviously.
He'd certainly get a trial, wouldn't he?
He'd get a trial, but what I'm saying is that if he was, it's not one of those things that's handed to you on a silver platter. You've got to be good enough. Because, obviously, you know, even if his status, which is Prince George, he's going to get the trial, but if he's good enough,
you get in,
and he gets in, that's through his own merit. Do you know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, we've always said that. You know, it's like you get an in with somebody that you know, but once you're in,
it's like Stella McCartney, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she had Paul McCartney as a dad, so the ins were there.
Yeah.
But to sustain it, she obviously had to be very, very good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Without a doubt. Well, look,
Rami's son, James McCartney, trying to be a musician, and with all the luck of the world.
Not good.
Oh, no.
No?
Forget about it.
Okay, all right. What about Ringo Starr's boy, the drummer, Zach Starkey?
Good drummer.
Okay, got an in. But where is he? What's he doing? Just hitting the drums. What band's he involved in? Meghan Markle, obviously Hollywood actress.
Yes.
But they've made her stop acting, so she's not. She doesn't do it anymore.
Well, hang on a second. That's a bit different. I don't think they've made her.
I think they have.
Do you think so?
She's quite busy going around the country.
That's what I'm saying. I don't, to be honest with you, I think Meghan Markle's found a much better gig.
I don't know whether it is.
For her, it is, mate.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's fame. You can see she's fucking mad.
Should a prince, let's say Prince George.
And that's the ultimate fame, by the way.
Should a Prince George, should he be able to do whatever he wants, go into business? Like, what I'm saying is,
he's not going to be able to.
Let's say it's George's Plumbers. Right? He's got a street. He's got eight vans going around London.
Yeah.
George's Plumbers.
Yeah, I can't see that.
He's got a Union Jack on the side. Why not?
I can't see it happening, no.
Let's figure out different things that George can do.
George could do, yeah.
As we go through the show. And also, we're asking you, 0208 70 25 58. what's the worst sunburn you've ever had? If you've got a picture, it's going to be a heat wave this week.
Man,
we want to know.
Man, heat wave.
Johnny's keeps
saying. You know that song, don't you?
I do know it, yeah. I'm trying to think who it is. We're going to get producer Laurie to find that
yeah,
song.
Yeah, do they know the heat wave?
Listen, John, it was the anniversary games at the weekend.
So it was.
Our very own Ewan Thomas was there. We spoke to him from West Ham Stadium. I called it West Ham Stadium. The London Stadium, yeah. That's where it was. And we also, Andrew Potsey finished sixth. In the 110-metre hurdles yesterday, and he joins us now. How are you, Andrew?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Did you enjoy yourself yesterday?
Yeah, of course. I don't know if you've ever been down to the Muller Anniversary Games, but...
No, I think next year, me and Belle will definitely go down there.
Oh, you must. Yeah, atmosphere is always incredible. Obviously, we had some nice weather this weekend, so, yeah, really, really good weekend, as it always is.
And what, good turnout, good crowd?
Yeah, good crowd. Always in the UK, a very knowledgeable crowd. I think, you know, it really has come on from the London 2012 Olympics. And I think we're kind of the envy of the world. You know, all the international athletes that come down for the event always love it. And it's why they always put on such a good show.
Right. Well, I mean, what are you doing to prepare for next year for the Tokyo Olympics?
Yeah, so we're getting closer, right? It's only 1 year to go. So, you know, we're training very hard, obviously. Competitions like the Muller Anniversary Games are really important in the build-up. We've got the World Championships in Doha in October. And, you know, I'm in a training base over in southern Italy now, so a bit of a change of pace for me. Mm. You know, hoping to get the best results possible in 1 year's time.
What are your personal goals? Where are you at in your career at the moment, Andrew?
So going to Tokyo would be my third Olympics. Obviously, we've still got to qualify. I won the World Indoor Championships last year, so that was my first world title. So, you know, I'm well placed to be fighting for a spot on the podium, and that's you know, the aim, of course. And, you know, it's the reason why I made quite a big decision to head over to Italy and to kind of uproot and to work with a new coach. You know, it's all for getting the best results and, you know, going that one step further and getting on the podium in Tokyo.
Tell us, you obviously gone to Italy to train. Just tell us about your training day. What's involved in your setup for training?
So it depends on the time of year. You know, it does change quite a bit. But I'll train guaranteed every morning, so 6 days a week, every morning starting about 9:30. And then often we'll have, you know, other sessions in the afternoon as well. At this time of year in the summer, we're traveling a lot. We're all over the world for competitions, you know, on the Diamond League circuit and whatever. But right now for me, I'm heading back to Italy today to get back to work. And my next competition will be in Birmingham in about a month's time. So we've got a month now to kind of crack on.
Now, you're a member of the Muller Athletic Squad. Mm. What does that entail? And do you get any free yoghurts?
of course, that's what it's all about.
not the low-fat Muller ones.
No,
that's got to be the full.
You've got the full fat
one. You've got to have the, because there's no flavour.
Well, it's got to get some carbs in your body if you're training that much.
No, listen, it's such a good partnership for me because, you know, dairy is so important as an athlete. As you'll have seen, you know, my hurdles are extremely high. It's a really high impact, high speed, high intensity event. So for me, dairy is really important, looking after bones, you know, for that impact. But actually, you know, with a lot of the Muller products now, the Muller yogurt products, it's all about getting a protein fix. They're quite high in protein.
Right. You're doing a good selling job there, Andrew. Yeah. Very, very good.
Going to go and get some now.
Well, you asked about my day, you know, a lot of the time.
I'll tell you what, so you don't suggest to any vegans they should become runners, do you? Or hurdlers, because they're not allowed to drink.
It's beyond my level of expertise. Well, no, I wouldn't like to comment. I'm sure there are many, but you know, for me personally,
you like your dairy.
Super important. Yeah, it's really important. And you know, now with a lot of the Muller Light products, it's really high in protein, and it's good to just have in the training bag when I'm, you know, running in between sessions.
Right.
Just a quick fix of protein and dairy.
The reason why I asked you about your training was how does it differ for a hurdler to just a 100-metre sprinter? What's the difference in training? Obviously, you've got to go over the hurdles, but is your training more focused on sprinting, or is it the technique?
Well, I'm biased, but I'll tell you that my training is an awful lot better than a sprinter's. It must be boring for them, you know, running in a straight line. How tough can it be? In all seriousness, you know, we do an awful lot of sprint training. Obviously, speed is so important. We're running at speeds of 35 kilometers an hour, and it's, you know, it's a 13-second race. So speed's incredibly important, but we do a lot more technical work, working with the hurdles, and a lot more plyometric work as well, which is a lot of like bounding and this kind of, you know, thing in order to set us up for the hurdling.
Andrew, you've got a master's in business management. I mean, how did you get time to study for that?
Well, for me, it's really important to change focus. You know, so I was quite fortunate, I guess. I was always interested in sport, you know, and in athletics taking part. But I was also really interested in school and then subsequently university in kind of management, finance. And I found that it made me a better athlete because, you know, I mean, you guys will know too, right? If you have a tough day at work, you don't want to go back and talk about exactly what you did, you know, all the time. So for me, it's good to kind of change the channel and focus on something different. And then it means that every time I go to the track, you know, I'm really focused on that and making the most of that, and I'm not kind of oversaturated with sport, I guess.
Have you got your plans then for after athletics? I mean, do you know what you're going to do?
I don't, just at the moment, you know. I think,
enjoy yourself, Andrew. Enjoy
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And you know, just... for me as an athlete, you need to focus on that 100%.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, it's all about keeping as many doors open as possible afterwards, and that's kind of what I've tried to do there.
Yeah,
and I assume the weather's pretty good out in Italy at the moment. We've got a heat wave coming here this week, so I'm assuming you're in decent shape there.
Yeah, no, it's really good over there. It's kind of degrees every day. So
You broke up. Did you say 100 degrees?
No, I wish I did. It's about 30 degrees kind of regularly.
Yeah.
30 John, degrees regularly.
He broke up.
Johnny Sperling thinks everything is 100
that.
Degrees. Don't you worry. listen, we
you
look
know
for,
what? I'm glad it's not.
You know, I look forward to looking out for you. I used to go to school with Sally Gunnell. Remember that. She was a year above me at school. And I always used to go to the athletics meets, and the whole buzzword was Sally Gunnell.
Right.
Listen, Andrew...
amazing.
Good luck with your training.
Yeah, incredible athlete.
Good luck with your training, Andrew. Let's hope you get first when you go to Tokyo next year.
Yeah, let's look forward to it. Andrew Pottsy there, the Brit 110-metre hurdler.
Yeah.
Muller Athletics squad member.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
So why will players go to Arsenal rather than Spurs, John?
I have no idea. It's we're in the Champions League. Mm. They're in the, you know...
The Nothing League.
The Nothing League. The league that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Consolation Cup.
Oh, the Consolation Cup.
The Consolation Cup.
Yeah, but... Okay, all right. The fact is, it may be the dangly carrot that they're saying to players, look, we're in a real rebuilding process, whereas Spurs have pretty much got... You don't want to go to Spurs and sit on the bench, do you?
Beat Juventus yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Spurs?
I got a load of stick yesterday.
Right.
Played in the Iron Maiden charity game against,
I saw that,
against Rod Stewart's
was
team.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was very good.
Did you see Rod?
No, Rod wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
That's good. Normally, it's not turned up anymore. And I got a load of stick from Newcastle. A couple of Newcastle fans. We beat West Ham 1-0. Who cares? It's pre-season.
Yeah, it's pre-season.
Who cares? You got a manager that that's not very good. listen, John, this story about Philip Hammond will resign if Boris wins.
Right.
It's just a strike. And I think there's a few others that have jumped on the bandwagon with this. And listen, we're going to have a chat now with Matt Dathan, the Sun's chief political correspondent. Morning, Matt.
Morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Matt. Is this Philip Hammond chucking his toys out the pram?
Absolutely, yeah. And there's quite a few others along with him. It's rather like the transfer market this week. There's a lot of coming and going to the cabinet, the government. We've already had this morning... Alan Duncan, who's actually quit. Obviously, Philip Hammond said he will quit on Wednesday if and when Boris becomes, is announced Prime Minister tomorrow morning. We've had also David Gort, the Justice Secretary. There's also expected to be Roy Stewart, Greg Clark. They're real clear out. They're basically jumping before they get pushed.
Yeah.
But, you know, the idea is if you announce you're resigning, you make a much more of a media meal of it. You get your statement out there before you're drowned out by Boris's new cabinet. So it's just media management, really. And, they're playing to their own agenda.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're saying that it's because they can't get involved in a no-deal Brexit. But Boris is not saying that it's going to be a no-deal. He's just saying that he's just leaving that on the table, isn't he?
Well, exactly. I mean, until March, government policy was we leave with no deal unless we get a deal. So, obviously things have moved on. In private, now in public, is what they're saying in private. In private before March, they said, we'll never actually go for no deal. And now they're being a bit more honest with the public and saying, look, we just don't believe Britain will be better off going out without a deal. So we're not prepared it'll be government policy to go for no deal, whereas at the moment it's not. So to be in the cabinet, Boris is going to have to return cabinet responsibility, and the likes of Philip Hammond and Greg Clark wouldn't realistically get a job under Boris anyway. So they're just going before they get pushed, really.
Has he been any good, Philip Hammond?
Well, I mean, the son doesn't think so, because he's, budget after budget, he comes out and attacks. A lot of our readers, really. We had the fiasco over the raising national insurance contributions for the self-employed.
Yes.
Back in 2017, which was ditched a week after he announced it.
It was over the moon with that, by the way.
No, exactly. And he's a very very conservative, mostly conservative chancellor, wants to keep borrowing down, doesn't like to turn on the spending taps at all. But now that we do sort of need a bit of spending, I think the consensus is in the Tory party as well that austerity needs to sort of come to an end, and he's very reluctant to do so. So I think a lot of the Tory party in the country would be pleased to see the back of him.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it has clipped the wings of a lot of self-employed people, I think, in the last few years. There's a lot of, such red tape that self-employed people can't seem to do anything. So I'm just wondering, who would Boris look to bring in as Chancellor?
Well, I think it's looking like Sajid Javid, because I think Sajid is from the same sort of wing of the economic kind of policy part of the party as Boris Johnson. He announced quite a few of the same sort of policies as Boris did. Wants to see taxes coming down, lifting the lowest paid out of paying national insurance altogether, raising the national insurance threshold from $8,500 to $12,500, but also looking at ways to reduce the tax burden on middle classes, but also also wants to see 20,000 more police officers deployed on the streets, which Boris has signed up to.
That's important.
So I think their economic policy is aligned.
Just from your readers and what you get sent to you, Matt, is that a real important thing? That the way the country is at the moment with knife crime and gun crime and everything else, and there's not enough police. That's a major thing, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean that's one of the subjects which we get most correspondence through the post and through emails is the shocking rise of violent crime in cities, especially London. It's just a real shame of the current Tory government and also the London mayor, really. And I think Boris, as mayor of London, will he boasts about his record on reducing the crime rate in London. Will want to. That's something that you could really sort of, in a few years' time, in the next election, whenever it might be, he can look back and say, look, this is what I achieved. And that it's a very visible thing you can say, look, this is what I achieved. So I think that's something they'll focus on, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be better than just being known for the bikes, won't it?
Yeah, well, they're Sadiq cycles now, some people call them, aren't they?
Oh, don't ever call him that.
What about... Now, Michael Gove, he's run against Boris twice for the leadership. Could he really expect a major, cabinet position?
Well, I'll never cease to be impressed at how the likes of Michael Gove, Amber Rudd, and a lot of Tory politicians can very quickly row back on their very public criticism of their political foes like Boris. I mean, it was only 4 months ago that Michael Gove was basically repeating the things he said 3 years ago when he stabbed Boris in the back, saying he couldn't be trusted. But now he, remarkably, surprise, surprise, is lavishing praise on him, saying he'd be a great prime minister, he trusts him, and Amber Rudd doing the same. So, I mean, you'd never be surprised at how Tories will do anything to keep their job.
What about Hunt? Will he do the same? What do you think?
Jeremy Hunt?
Yeah.
Well, interestingly, today we're hearing, in the Sun, my colleague Tom had a story about speculation that Boris would actually demote him because he's been very quite hardline on his tax, personal on his tax.
I'd love to see that.
On Boris. Yeah. you know, maybe he should be the small business minister because he bangs on about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. I'm demoting you. I am demoting you.
Wouldn't it be funny if you made him look after the cat? The cat at 10 Downing Street. You're in charge of the cat, Jeremy.
Yeah.
It is quite a strange one, isn't it? And I'm pretty pleased that Michael Gove never got to number 10. That image of him running in those red shorts would have been a terrible thing. What about the likes of Priti Patel and Nicky Morgan, you know, ministers that were sacked? Will they sort of be back in the cabinet?
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it? I mean, I think Priti Patel, because she's been very vocal in her support of Boris, and I think will be rewarded with a... there's rumours that she might get the international trade job off Liam Fox. There's other rumours she might be Northern Ireland secretary or party chairman. I think, and I think Nicky Morgan would be a big, quite a good appointment for Boris to make, because she's very much from the more the centre left of the party. She's really she leads one of the One Nation group of Tories. She's also quite Europhile, but not going as far as the likes of Philip Hammond calling for a second referendum. So I think it would be a good move in his efforts to unite the party, Nicky Morgan. She's obviously a former education secretary. Maybe she could come in and be business secretary because she's the chair of the Treasury Select Committee. So she's got experience in that field, and I think she was a former accountant. So maybe that would be a good move. I'm not sure.
Mm. Now, voting closes tonight. Do you think any surprises or one phrase, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think all we're looking out for in Westminster is the margin of victory. So if it's a huge, resounding victory, he has the capacity, I think, the political capacity to get rid of Hunt, get rid of others as well, other Jeremy Hunt supporters, other Remainers. If it's a small margin in the 50s, then I think he has to include Jeremy and some of his supporters. So I think that's what we're looking out for. But I suspect it'll be... I've put a bet on, not a bet on. I've put a sweepstake.
Yeah, not a bet.
Yeah, no.
Be not careful. A bet. One of the sweepstakes. Yeah.
Go on, give us half a clue. What are you thinking? Go on.
So I think Boris will win 62-38.
Okay. Something to look at. Just on the European side of things, how do you think that little gang will perceive Boris?
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow is going to be loads of noise, isn't it? It's going to be all the reaction from everyone domestically. But in Brussels, I think the reaction will be really interesting, especially from the EU leaders. I think Brussels, like, you know, the European Commission chief, the Michel Barnier, I think they'll be very, you know, very predictable, saying we're not going to be open the withdrawal agreement, blah, blah, blah. But I think the responses from Angela Merkel, Macron and some of the more Eastern European leaders, and obviously Ireland, will be the most interesting, because Boris is really... depending on them to be willing to have a bit of wriggle room on the backstop, if they come out and in private, Jeremy Hunt and a lot of other ministers say in private they are willing to look again at the backstop. So maybe tomorrow will be the first time publicly that some of those figures, those key figures, will come out and say, "Look, we're willing to work over the summer, but we have to, have some sort of backstop." So it'll be interesting to see their response, but. It'll be a load of noise from all directions tomorrow attacking Boris.
Look, I was going to ask you about, because we've got the heat wave coming. I was going to ask you, have you ever had terrible sunburn? And the last one I was going to ask you, you can choose which one. What do you think Prince George could do? Because he's been pictured wearing an England football shirt. Do you think, what sort of job could he do in later life?
Prince George?
Yeah.
Maybe he could be... I don't know. He could be manager of England, maybe. I don't know.
Manager. Wear a waistcoat like Gareth Southgate.
Or Newcastle manager, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got to do better than some of the ones who've gone before him.
Just one more before you go, Matt. All the stuff that happened to Boris over the last month. You know, the fracas,
with the girlfriend,
and the rows, and then the strange comment about painting buses. I mean. Is that affected him? It's not affected him at all, is it?
No, it doesn't seem to at all. I think it will have maybe more longer term. It doesn't affect the Tory membership at all. I think that a lot of Tory members don't really care what you get up to in your private life, and they saw it as a domestic row. But I think it does raise questions in the longer term of you know, what a prime minister, a single prime minister, will be like. Because I don't think we've had one for years, have we?
Agreed. Yeah.
And whether they, whether you know, a fractious relationship would distract him from the job. But I think Boris has always kept his private life. Always tried to keep his loved ones, his children, which is quite impressive how he's kept his children very private.
It's impressive.
It'll be interesting to see how he continues with that.
Well, as long as he doesn't rugby tackle any young children, we're all right.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
Brilliant, Matt.
Nathan, they're the Sun's chief political correspondent.
This is Love Sport.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Johnny Sperling, Patrick Crist is laughing because I played in a charity football match yesterday. I played centre midfield and the fella I was marking, who's only 35, he was playing for Coventry 3 years ago. I was chasing him around the dressing room. He said, "Will you leave me alone?" I woke up, I was having nightmares about the fella.
How long was it before you had to go off, mate?
Normally, I'm fine, but I played 30 minutes and I signalled to the bench and I said, "I've got to come off." I was choking. I said, I went over, I said, "How old's that fella?" And they said, "Well, don't worry about how old he was at Coventry 3 years ago." I wish you'd go back there.
Oh, fantastic.
It's geezer.
Oh, that is funny. Patrick, I've kept you here.
Yeah.
Because, okay, look, it's voting tonight.
Yes.
We had Matt. Was it Matt?
Matt Edgington. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and
Matt Dathan. Matt Dathan.
That's it. Matt Dathan. Yeah.
Memorable, isn't it?
Memorable. Well, you know, you speak to so many people, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
You forget. I forget.
He was
their
very
names.
Good. Chief political correspondent for the Sun.
He
fantastic.
Was very good.
Very, very good.
Good man.
Anyway, so
yeah.
What I was going to ask you is now the voting tonight. Right?
Yeah.
Stop laughing, will
you,
at me?
Sorry.
Yeah. He's laughing at me.
Yeah.
They're voting tonight. Any surprises? It's Boris. A sure thing.
Shoo in for Boris Johnson.
It's going to be by how much? When we spoke to Matt, he thought
62-38.
Yeah. I was about to say 62-34. That would have been weird. 62-38, yeah.
Yeah. I think until Boris Johnson had a monumental row with his new missus that got recorded by his neighbours and sent to The Guardian, I thought it was probably going to be about 80-20.
Really?
But no, I think your mate Matt, or whatever it's called, is probably about on the money, actually.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's about right. I think that's but Boris will storm it.
And just while you're here, last question. Just got to ask you, what do you think about Philip Hammond saying that he wouldn't be part of it? Is he just jumping ship before he knows he's not going to get a job?
I mean, it's
anyway.
A little bit like, you know, when you're with your missus and she goes, "Right, that's it, I'm leaving."
Yeah.
And you just go, "Yeah, all right. That's all right. That's fine. Do you want to lift the airport?" You know, and that's a bit like what's happening with Spreadsheet Phil now. Yeah.
Right,
no one cares.
He's been a bit Monday. I mean, if they'd done the old days of what's it called, the puppets,
Thunderbirds,
Spitting Image.
Spitting Image.
I mean, Thunderbirds would have been good. Yeah. No, on the old days of Spitting Image, they probably would have gone, "Right, should we make one about Philip Hammond?" And they go, "Not really."
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't they bring that back? Yeah. Honestly, Patrick, you missed out there.
Spitting Image
was unbelievable. They tried it again a couple of years ago, didn't they?
Even with John Major, they made him grey.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
It was just
the puppet was grey.
He was grey. Yeah. And so with Philip Hammond, it would have got to a point where they'd just gone, "Do you know what? We haven't got enough material to make it for him. What's the point?" You know, but mate, it's a bit of paper mache there. We're not.
What's going to happen to Jeremy Hunt? Very, very quickly. What's going to happen?
Will
to
he get
him?
A job?
What's he going to do?
A tricky one. This. I mean, the fact is that he is very, very good. He's a very capable politician. position, I would expect him to have a cabinet role in any normal government. Whether or not Boris Johnson does it is a different kettle of fish. I think that Boris, for the sake of keeping the peace, should probably try and get him in the cabinet. Whether or not Hunt will do is another question, because if Hunt sits it out, Boris might implode and Hunt could just sweep in again.
Mm. Well, Gove is, you know, he's got his tongue out, hasn't he?
Yeah, what do
you
mean? Gove is
leave it. Stop that.
I said he's put his tongue out.
Stop it.
I never said anything else.
Yeah, Gove is quite a slippery customer.
Yeah, he is. Especially in those red shorts. Yeah. Two very quick questions.
Yeah,
do you think the heat wave is coming? You were sunburned story.
Oh, you must get, you might, because you're quite fair. You must have been really sunburned.
Oh, I do get burnt quite.
Yeah, but there's a bit of Greek in you. You've got a Greek.
Yeah. Right, I've got a bit of Greek in me. I've just got what's my worst ever sunburn story? I've got burnt right on the top of my inner thighs.
Oh, that is painful.
Because anyone who's seen me as well knows my thighs rub together. So that's just constant.
We didn't know that. We know, yeah.
Oh, look at this thunder thigh. They do. That was awful. I just can't get in. I can't stand.
Yeah.
You know when you've got you get horrifically sunburned in the day.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you've arranged to go for a meal somewhere and the aircon's broken in the restaurant and you're like sticking to your own shirt.
That's the only
time I've ever shouted at a waiter.
Yeah, I like that. I
mean, round of applause.
I just got to ask him. Prince George has been pictured in an England football shirt. We're asking what we thought was, you know, the question was what would happen if he played for England.
Yeah.
But could he do any other jobs? Should he be like? Could he have a little plumbing firm like George's Plumbers?
George's Plumbers,
you know. I like that.
Some fat vans driving around like George's Plumbers or drain blockers.
Yes. String of hairdressers.
He could. Well, they always
cheap cuts.
They always do something, don't they? I think he could make it his life's ambition to chip away at the Fatberg underneath London sewers,
or
make sure there are no rats on the tube lines.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we could do something like that.
Leave a legacy. I'm leaning with John's one. A string of hairdressers.
Yeah. George's cuts.
George's cheap cuts.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Oh, I can see it now.
Haircuts fit for a king.
Or a queen. It doesn't matter.
Round of applause, Patrick Christie's.
We love it when Patrick comes in.
Yes, chap.
It's well done.
See you soon, Patrick.
Well done.
We love him. We love him.
A string of hairdressers. Do you want to blow dry? Do you want to blow dry?
Leave it there.
Listen, John, there's this story at the moment that possible subtitles in the cinema. Now, okay, some deaf people have asked for subtitles in the big cinema screens, okay?
Yeah.
Which I can understand. But what about, I've come up, you don't really want, if you're going to see the film, you don't want the subtitles popping up at the bottom, do you?
Well, only if it's a foreign film, yeah.
If it's a foreign film, yeah.
Yeah.
What about certain glasses that you could put on, like 3D glasses, and the subtitles only come up on your glasses? That's quite clever. Do you like that?
Here's what I don't understand.
Go on.
You know that when you turn on the telly about 4 o'clock in the morning, right?
Mm.
And they're doing a programme, and you think, oh, I like this. It's a good programme, this. Yeah. Like a Minder or one of the old...
Any new programmes?
What do you mean any new programmes? That they repeat Minder on ITV4?
Okay, all right.
Like one of those shows, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, and you've got that annoying person in the corner.
In the bottom corner.
Look, well, he's not just in the bottom corner. He's all over the screen. Or she.
Has he moved around?
You can't take your eyes off of them.
No.
Right? Now, I know they're there for...
Would you be better off with subtitles?
They're there for a good reason, because they're there for people who can't hear.
Yeah.
But what about subtitles, then?
Instead of
some person standing
there... Doing sign language.
Yeah, I understand sign language.
Oh, you do? You're clever.
No, I don't mean I understand it.
Oh, I see.
I understand it. What I mean is why don't they just put... subtitles instead of a person doing that, because it alienates 60% of the public, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. What about about two sign language people?
You're being silly now.
I know what you mean. When they pop up,
well, they don't just pop up.
It's like Bully's special prize coming up from the bottom of the screen, isn't it? In one, and Bully pops up.
It is,
but in general,
yeah,
in general,
yeah,
do you think They should have subtitles at the cinema.
I'll stop you there. No, absolutely not.
Okay, it's a campaign that started to allow subtitles at cinema screenings after a tweet went viral exposing a community of non-deaf people who watch television with subtitles.
Now, I know a few people that do that.
Do you?
It's very annoying.
Why do they do that?
Because they don't... Well, people are talking in here, and my mum does it.
Ah.
You know, she has the radio on.
Yeah.
With
subtitles on the radio? Where does that work?
She has the radio on, and that's why she has subtitles.
I don't get that.
Well, because she can...
Oh, you mean the radio on the telly?
No, the radio on. She has the radio on, but she can still watch the telly, the film, with the subtitles, with no sound.
A bit greedy, isn't she?
That's what I'm saying.
Listen to both at the same time.
That's what I'm saying.
What's the matter with a woman?
Exactly.
Now, you know that I'm 40% deaf in both ears now.
I didn't know that.
Well, I did tell you. You just didn't listen.
Well, I'm going deaf.
Right.
I didn't hear you.
I am. Were you really? Yeah, because it got to a point where... I mean, my dad used to wear an hearing aid. Quite a young man, sort of in his 50s.
Well, my dad had a
pair. And my mum used to go, "What's that noise?" You'd get the feedback.
Oh, really?
And he didn't know what was happening. He was like, "What's that noise?" He'd be looking around.
Oh.
And my mum would go, "Look at him. Look at him, stupid person. His hearing aid's feeding back." And so I went in to have an ear test because my daughter kept saying, "Dad, you can't hear nothing." Every time we keep repeating stuff. So I went in and the guy said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "Look at you, you're a fit man."
Yeah.
He said, "There'll be nothing wrong."
Well, being fit's got nothing to do with
your hearing,
is it?
He just looked at me and he said, "You're beautiful, man.
You're beautiful, man.
You're fit. You're handsome."
Okay, he was just being a bit cheeky.
Yeah, and he said,
"Salty.
There's nothing wrong with your ears." He said, "Don't worry about it." He said,
"They look wonderful."
He said, "They look wonderful." He's got a bit of wax in one, but he said, 25%, if you've lost 25%, you need an hearing aid.
Right.
And he said, "You'll be fine, you'll be fine." He'd done the hearing test and he said to me, "All right," I said, "I can't hear you." And he said, "I'm really shocked. I'm really sorry." He said, "But you've lost 35% in your left ear.
So where's your hearing?
And 40% in your right ear.
Where's your hearing aid?"
And I said, "That's good. I've only lost 10%. He said, "No, you didn't hear me correctly." He said, I thought of that gag as I was telling you. It was very good. He said,
"It's like, see no evil, hear no evil, isn't it?"
It was. He said 35 in one ear and 40 in the other. And I was like, "Really?" And he went, "Look, here's the hearing aid. It's $3,500. I said, "Listen, I'm better off struggling."
Yeah. I'll struggle.
I'll struggle.
Yeah.
But in the last month or so, it feels like it's getting worse.
Okay. Someone we know very well has got a hearing aid, and it cost about $3,000, yeah.
Yeah.
And he said it changed his life.
It does change your life, but I tell you, I was talking to the boys.
It's like, really, it's like so clear.
If some of the boys had listened to this,
right.
We was walking up the golf course the other day, and we were talking about our problems, and we were saying how we've got.
Now, one of
our mates has just had a hair transplant, okay? Okay, so he's had a hair transplant, so he's gone on about his hair.
Yeah.
Our other mate's lost his hair.
Yes.
And he's talking about the strength of his glasses, and there's me, I can't hear the pair of them. And he said, what's happened to us?
He's doubled over with back pain.
I'm doubled over with back pain. And he just said, what has gone wrong?
It does remind me
of Keith Richards.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Wood.
Yeah.
And they've both got getting old in the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, of course.
And they both walk out and, of course, their ears are shattered.
This is when they go on stage.
And they go on stage and Ronnie Wood says to Keith Richards, he says, "So this is Wembley." And Keith Richards says, "No, it's Thursday." And he said, "Yeah, so am I. Let's go and have a drink."
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
We're just obviously talking about the... Prince George.
Yes.
What
do you mean?
We were talking about Prince George as well beforehand, and we were talking about him wearing the England shirt.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me that Prince Charles has got big ears, and we were just talking about how I've lost my hearing.
You've lost your hearing. Not your ears.
You've
still got your ears.
But I just wonder, because Prince Charles has got quite big ears, do you think he can hear better than most people?
Yeah, I reckon so.
You think so?
Proper ear, yeah. It's like someone with a big nostrils.
What they can smell.
They smell. They always said that about Fern Cotton, didn't he? Keith Lemon.
Did he?
I said, you must be able to smell so well.
Do you think
those big nostrils?
Do you think that
it was a terrible Keith Lemon.
The fact that we've been talking about Gary Lineker, do you think he can hear us from here?
Why Gary Lineker?
Well, because he's got big ears, isn't he?
Are they big?
Yeah. That's all he's known for, big ears. All he's known for is having big ears and sitting around the six-yard box scoring goals.
Yeah.
That's all he's known for. John, listen, we've got a new feature.
Haven't
it's
we?
A fantastic new feature.
I like it.
We're going to have to do a jingle for this, and you're going to do. We all know Harry Maguire is the best defender in the world at the moment. All right?
Yeah. Okay. He's certainly worth a few quid.
He's certainly worth a few quid now, and that's why we've decided to name this feature after him. John's going to say it.
Harry Maguire's self-defence.
Love that. Every day we're going to find out something controversial, a controversial tweet, and a person is going to come on the show and defend their position. Now, Dan Izzard has come on, he's tweeted his opinion, okay? He's put this tweet out, okay? Please don't post your pictures of homemade roast dinner. It looks awful. I'm sorry, it does. If you post an empty plate and gravy dregs, you're getting blocked.
Well, before we get to Dan, let's hear what Harry Maguire thinks of that.
Scoring in a World Cup quarter-final is something that never happens to many people, so I feel really privileged to get the chance to play for England. And obviously your comments like that make me real proud as well.
Yeah, I mean, it will make you real proud of that, doing the... That make you proud, Harry. Thanks for that. I'm delighted to say Dan Izzard is now on the line to defend his position. Just tell us about this, Dan. Why don't you like pictures of roast dinners?
Well, they just look terrible. It just they may taste great, but it's just the big piles of miscellaneous veg and brown bits covered in an opaque
brown
sauce.
Yeah. I mean, do you like roast dinners?
Love them, but just don't want to see any horrific pictures of them.
Well, what drove you to send the tweet? I mean, you're sitting there and you see this picture of Harry Maguire's dinner, and what made you so mad to send him that tweet?
It's just the sadness of it all. They just look pretty sad.
Yeah.
Pretty drab meals.
Yeah. Maybe it's his first attempt. He thought, I'll have a little go at making a roast.
I don't think it was Harry Maguire posted the picture, did he?
If he did, it would be the same story. There's no way of making a roast dinner look attractive.
Yeah.
Just out of every meal, I'd rather see a breakfast, to be honest.
Oh, you're right. So you're all right with if people post up a nice big sort of slap-up breakfast? We're all right.
Yeah,
you're all right with that.
A little bit of colour variation, a little bit of texture, but not something that's covered with peas and gravy.
Yeah. What is your favourite roast?
Lamb, probably.
Yeah.
Oh.
And do you not post up pictures of your lamb?
Definitely not.
No.
Definitely not hypocritical like that.
I can understand it, Dan, when people put up a post saying, I'm furious. And then everyone goes, what do you mean I'm furious? What's happened, Dave?
Yeah.
What's happened? You know, what's gone wrong? I can see, and they leave you hanging for about an hour. But just a picture of a Sunday roast, it really gets you, does it?
It does. There's just so much nicer looking food out there. And people just think their roasts are the best thing that they're ever going to make. Mm. And I hate to tell them, but they look terrible.
Yeah.
Could you do better than what they've posted? Yeah.
I would, but I think you have to make a really small one and kind of stack it up like they do in the restaurants. That would be the only acceptable way to present it.
Do you get out a lot, Dan?
I mostly scroll through Twitter looking for roast pictures.
I'd do the same.
I mean, just yesterday, John, you spent 4 hours, didn't you, flicking through Twitter. What was you looking for? You was looking for pictures of squirrels or something?
No, not squirrels, no. I was looking for Toad in the Holes.
Toad in the Holes,
And I've come up with quite a few bad ones, you know.
Yeah.
And I messaged one person. I said, what do you think you're doing? Using a tiny little sausage like that.
Yeah.
In the middle of all that batter.
Yeah.
I bet you need a big Cumberland.
Yeah. I mean, it's
you know,
it's,
I said, what are you doing,
it's
mate?
Bad etiquette, isn't it?
Bad etiquette.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, and you can't beat a Toad in the Hole.
You can't.
Tell you that.
What do you do for a living, Dan?
Well, I actually work for a food magazine.
A what magazine?
Oh, he works for a food magazine. Now it all ties together.
Of course it does.
You're a food critic.
That's exactly right, yeah.
What's the magazine?
Why don't you say so in the first place? Then I'm thinking you're some carpet fitter who's looking through the tweets. You see a picture of a plate of food, and you do your nut. No! You're a food critic.
What's the magazine, Dan?
It's called Crumbs Magazine.
Crumbs. Is it mainly about sweets, desserts?
No, it covers food, drink, roasts, the whole lot.
It does cover roasts. Are you a chef yourself, or just a critic of it?
No, not a chef at all. No,
you're the worst kind. You're the worst kind, you see. You're like film critics and TV critics. They've never done one day of acting in their life, but yeah, all of a sudden they can tell you how to act.
Yeah, one stray roast potato and that's me going in.
Just, you can't beat a roast potato, by the way. You can't. A good roast potato.
A nice, soft.
Goose fat. Goose fat. Oh, yeah.
I thought you was pointing at me saying goose fat. I thought you had a new name.
I was getting quite animated, wasn't I?
Dan, just going on from this. We've got the heat wave coming this week. What part of town are you in?
I'm in Bristol.
You're in Bristol.
Are you in Bristol? Okay.
And so
it won't be so hot there, I don't think.
Well, you don't get the sun over there, do you?
No, just
so you know, Dan, the heat wave is coming. It's going to be 37 by Thursday. Have you ever been sunburned? What's your worst sunburn story?
In Las Vegas, it got up to mid-40s.
That's hot.
And there were people bringing me beverages on roller skates, so I didn't feel the need to actually get up and move to the shade.
Wow. Well, Dan, you should have posted pictures of that instead of worrying about roast dinners.
About roast dinners, yeah, yeah.
Listen, Dan,
least of my worries.
Have a wonderful time in the sun the next few days, and we'll maybe get Love Sport Radio to send you a roast dinner.
Do that.
There you go. Dan Izzard there, just reporting from Harry Maguire's self-defence. We're going to run a few more of these with the tweets. There's some people that put out mad tweets.
There certainly are. That's one of them.
That's one of them.
Mind you, it made a bit more sense when I found out he was a food critic.
Yeah.
He obviously sees a lot of roast dinners.
We spoke about it mainly on Facebook the other day. You said some of these people that put a leading comment and leave you hanging and go, I can't believe what's happened.
It's horrible, isn't it?
And then leave it there. And people go, what's happened, Cheryl?
Cheryl,
what's happened, Cheryl? And she comes back and she says, my name's not Cheryl.
No, is the worst thing what they do.
Go on.
They go, unbelievable, can't believe it.
Yeah.
Right? The comebacks. And one of her friends, you know, you don't know him very well, but private message me and I'll tell you. What are you doing? Message me.
Yes.
I want to know. You put it out there.
No, you're right. 100% right.
Don't they?
They do that.
PM me and I'll tell you.
Or DM me. Direct message.
DM.
Once they throw in a DM.
A DM, you know you're in trouble.
I'm not having that. I still thought it was boots that you wore. Dr. Martens. You know, I sent a pair of 12-hole steels round to someone's house. I used to love. Didn't you love Dr. Martens with the steel toe cap showing?
Oh, absolutely. So
if you were a skinhead or a rude boy. Yeah, one of those sort of ones. I remember saying to my dad, I want 10-hole steels.
Yeah.
And my feet was only a... This is a great story, listen to this. And he said, you can't. They don't do 10 holes for your feet. I was only size 3.
Yeah.
Right. I was about 11 years old. Right? And he said, no, you can't get them. So you could get 6-hole Dr. Martens. You've got them in red or black.
Yeah.
And we went to Petticoat Lane.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up with 6. So you get 6-hole, 8-hole, 10-hole, 12-hole. Right, okay? Little people.
Yeah.
6 holes. Yeah. That's all you got, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then me mate had a pair of 10-hole steels. Now, these were a size 7.
Wow.
Right? But I'm a size 3. And I said to him, I'll have those. I'll buy them off you.
Yeah.
I bought them for £5 off him, and he'd cut all the leather off the front so you could see the steel toe caps, right?
Yeah,
and I remember coming down the stairs, right, like Coco the Clown, right, with my feet slapping
because
they were 4 sizes too big. And I remember my mum going, where are you going? And I remember getting outside the front door and hiding my feet so she couldn't see my feet, right? She said, where are you going? I said, I'm just going to go over and see the boys. She said, what are you wearing? And I said, nothing. And she went, come back here. And so I went running down the road with my toes slapping, 4 sizes too big. And I got over there. All my mates went, I went, look at me 10 old stools, and every single one of them went, they're too big for you.
Love Sport.
You've been listening to Ben and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.